Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 273, stanzas 2, 3, 4, and 6. The time for Zion's help is near, and the time appointed in thy love. Oh, let thy gracious aid appear. Look thou in mercy from above. 2, 3, 4, and 6 of 273. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, in the 24th chapter, beginning with verse 13 and through verse 27. Luke 24, verses 13 through 27. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 24, beginning with verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these, that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? He said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him and they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou art holy. And our hearts and our lives, they cannot rightly approach to thee. For we have read thy holy law, and we are transgressors and corrupt from the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet. And when it does not come forth from us in an outward way, and then our hearts are yet so full of the greatest of iniquities, for thou knowest that we do serve the idols of silver and of gold, and our hearts, they are full of covetousness and enmity and hatred and thievery. And so there is not one that is able in this morning to put his hand in his own bosom and take it out clean. And who shall stand in thy holy sight when once thou comest to judge us and our children? And when we have to stand in thy judgment seat, then we shall be condemned and shall not have one answer to a thousand questions. Oh, that thou mayst show it unto us, each and every one. But wilt thou also plant the love of thee in our hearts, as it was in the hearts of those of whom we have read in this morning hour, that it may not only be a conscience that condemns us, but that our hearts may also grieve, that we might love thee, and that we may mourn that we do not serve thee, and that our hearts and lives, they are so vain and so carnal in the midst of this world. Lord, that thou may give us true godly sorrow by that new birth that thy Spirit is able to give unto us, and that we are not able to give unto ourselves. For the Lord did look down from heaven
to see if there were any that understood. And then he did find none. And we and our children are included in that none, so that there is none good and none upright, and none that seeketh after God, but thou wilt still have a people, and so thou wilt draw a people by thy love and by thy grace unto thyself. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, on this thy holy day that is set aside for the true worship of thee, and that we can no longer fulfill in a right and in a holy and an upright way, that thou may use it to grant new life, and that may have a small beginning of that new obedience. Look upon thy children. Thou knowest where they are. And thou knowest all that lives in their hearts. And how many questions there can be. And how despondent so often. And that they can be, Lord, could it please thee to remember them this day. And that thou may give them a word in due season out of thy holy book. And that we may be given that true humility in the way of the spirit of grace and supplications to beseech of thee for us and our dear children, that we would not be left on that broad road that travels to an everlasting destruction, but that thou may bring us through that straight gate and upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Lord, instruct us in all thy truth, and wilt thou look upon young and old together as we go through this world. Lord, there are so many distractions in this life, and we have many labors to perform, but it is the love of the world that is living in our hearts that needs to be broken. And oh, that we may be given even to put our back to this city of destruction, and by the grace of thy Holy Spirit, with a true need in our hearts, and that our face that may be set toward that celestial city, and that we might learn to set aside every weight that doth so easily beset us, and to run the race that is before us. For they all run the race, but one receives the prize. Oh, give us then so to run, and look upon all the afflicted and all the sick ones that are not able to be with us in this day, where they may be in their own homes. Wilt thou supply for those in the nursing homes and all those that do become old. Remember those that to commemorate birthdays and anniversaries in the midst of us, when these milestones may be in our life, and when we may see our life so quickly passing away, Lord, that thou may use them also for good, that we may be given hearts to understand. Look upon us and our children. And when we may be in the midst of this world, Lord, that thou may cause us to flee all that is vain and all that is carnal, and that the treasure which is above may fill our hearts, Remember us in this day, in this morning hour. We are gathered around thy word, and we are gathered around thy truth. And there is no man in this morning that is able to bring it in their own heart. But Lord, we beseech thee that thou, as thou didst draw near even unto these two men, may so draw near unto us in a surprising way in this morning. And that thou may yet speak unto us, and that it may be good to be together in thy house of prayer. And wilt thou then drive out all the buyers and the sellers and separate us for a few moments from all that is carnal and vain, and that the substance which thou wilt cause thy church to inherit, and that it may also become our portion. Do forgive and keep us from all sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 115, stanzas 1 through 4, as pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come in thy gracious face to see? The last collection today is for our school, 115 all stanzas. Thank you.
And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Have we ever heard any one congregation tell of such a thing? That is, how he was known of them. It is not so difficult for any one of us to speak about the Lord. It is not so difficult for any one of us to speak about the Lord Jesus. Also, our children can do that. Because we have heard of him from our youth. But it is a greatly different thing for us to speak about, as we read here, how that he was known of us. How that we have come to know him. Because that is a matter that is much more than merely intellectual. That is a matter of the experience of our heart and of our life. And when we will tell how that he was known of us, then we will have to say what came before it and what happened. And what has followed after, then we are able to say something of how that room was made for him, how that he has revealed himself to our soul, and how that our soul that has rejoiced in him, or have we ever heard someone tell how that he was known of them? Are there also those who desire to hear such a thing? How was he known of you? Increasingly, congregation, that is something that is disdained. Increasingly, that is something that is considered unnecessary. It is sufficient if we may speak a little and have the name of Jesus upon our lips. But how that he was made known unto us, that we do not know. And more, it seems that the people of the Lord, they are not understood when they are speaking about these things. And still, such persons, when they see, when they feel that those ways are not necessary, are upholding themselves, though our religion is only a mere superficiality. And then considering God's true remnant to be enthusiasts. But what these two men may experience, we cannot miss. No, it cannot remain with our upbringing. It cannot remain with an intellectual knowledge. Because we will then, in the end, find out that we have deceived ourselves. And therefore, we wish with the Lord's help to consider in this morning hour, and if all is well, to finish that next week, the way of these Emmaus travelers. Luke 24, the 16th verse is our text for this morning hour. Luke 24, verse 16, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him.
So far, the words of our text. The disciples' eyes holding from knowing Christ. First, while he draws them out. Second, while they unburden to him. And third, while he instructs them. The disciples' eyes holding from knowing Christ. First, while he draws them out. Second, while they unburden to him. And third, while he instructs them. But their eyes were holding. So what is that? Holding eyes. They are eyes that see, but they do not see. They are eyes, we read in God's word, they see, but they do not perceive. And so it is, congregation, with us by nature. We have eyes that see, and we see so many things. But those eyes do not perceive. Our eyes also are holding, and we can see nothing except the Lord opens our eyes. Do you believe that? There are many people in our so-called Christian world that would in this moment be offended with us. Maybe, young people, they would now rise up and go out of the church. They are offended. Why? Well, they say, you turn, you twist that holy word of God. Because we read here of the natural eyes of the disciples. And those natural eyes they are holding. They cannot see the Lord Jesus, who he is. They cannot perceive him. And now you speak to us about spiritual things. And thus you mysticize that holy word of God. You make what is natural to be spiritual. That they say that is deceitful. Young people, we fear for you. Why do we fear for you? Because of the world in which we are living. And the communication in our world is very, very great. And so you may hear from so many different persons. And your exposure to the evil in this world is more than it ever was since the world began. And that is not only the evil of the carnal things in this world, but it is also the evils in the religious things. There are so many persons that see nothing in that holy word of God but what is absolutely superficial. They see nothing more. And those persons, they are very vocal. And they are also sometimes very persuasive. That it seems to be, especially when we are young, it seems to be that they are right. Arminianism, that is rampant. And you know that Arminianism wants nothing to do with an internal call. Only an external call. Thus, they want nothing to do with the necessity that the Lord open our eyes.
Now that is now something that all of us have already by common grace. Now we wish for a few moments to prove to you something out of the holy word of God. The apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Doth God take care for oxen?" What do you think, children? Doth God take care for oxen? Certainly. The Lord takes care for the oxen, and he takes care for the little birds and all the animals that are in this world. And why does the Apostle Paul ask that question? Doth God take care for oxen? Because in the law of God, in the ceremonial laws, the Lord has written about oxen. And he has said, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn." That was to take care of the oxen. And now the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, why is it that the Lord writes this in his word? Is that now only for oxen? And then what does he say? Doth God take care for oxen, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? Or does he say that for another reason? For our sakes. No doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope. And he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Indeed, the Lord takes care for oxen. But the Apostle Paul says there is another reason that the Lord, he has spoken about those oxen, that has a much more important application. And now we go back to our text. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Or is that, young people, then, is that merely natural? Or is that indeed spiritual? Oh, no doubt, for our sakes, it is written. Because it has especially to do with spiritual eyes. And the holding of that eyesight, that is something that is more often spoken of in that holy word of God. The Lord has appeared to Isaiah by the way of vision. Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. And the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Peter both speak about these words of Isaiah in the New Testament, and they speak about those words in connection with spiritual eyesight. Paul writes to the Ephesians that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his inheritance in the saints. One more. John, he heard the message of the Lord to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. I counsel thee to anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Indeed, it is not simply for the natural. There is a reason that the Lord has written his word, and that is for the need of our soul. Thus, it is not for that which is common in the first place, but it is that which is spiritual. But their eyes, they were holding that they should not know him. Anything that we truly know for our soul, that has to come from above. Do you believe that? A man can receive nothing except to be given unto him from heaven. We do not know our need. Is that not so? What man can open the eyes of his fellow man concerning his misery? What man can show to his fellow man his sin? What man can show to his fellow man all his guilt? What man can make his fellow man to love the Lord? What man can make us to mourn and to grieve? Oh, do our eyes not need to be opened? And then it is not so only with our need. Concerning our own guilt, our own sin, but it is also for the deliverance of our soul. It is known how. It is known by revelation. It is known by the opening of our eyes. Oh, what is that? When it is revealed. That is not a vision. No, that is not a sight of the natural eyes. That is not a dream. No, that is an opening. That is a spiritual opening, an enlightening of the soul. So that it is as if the soul now sees. And what we may know by our natural eyesight, when our eyes are closed, and our eyes may go open, so it is when our soul is closed and the eye of the soul goes open. So the Lord describes it in his own word. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Oh, how hidden is that second person of that divine Trinity. So often for the church of God, he standeth behind our wall. Oh, do they wish that to be so? They do not. Did these two men wish it to be so? Oh, they did not. But the Lord has his reasons. And if the Lord holds our eyes, then we don't see anything. And yet, when those eyes, those spiritual eyes, they are holding, that they are not able to see that Son of God, then still how many dealings the Lord is having with that same soul. And so we read here of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Thus sometimes the Lord, he is so close to that people, they do not realize it. They think he is so far away. They think he is dead. But he is so close. He is walking with them. And he is talking to them. And what kind of person do we find him drawing near unto? They are not the Pharisees. They are not the scribes. No, we read it in the Word of God that he sat and he ate with publicans and with sinners. And now we see him. He is drawing near to whom? To his own people. And when? When they are distressed. When they are perplexed. Two disciples. They are going to Emmaus. Why? Do they have some business to do? We do not know. They live in the midst of this world. Even as we live in the midst of this world. So many things have taken place. But now they have to continue to live in this world. But their heart that is taken up with things that are not in this world. Oh, is that also so with us sometimes when we may go about our labors in the midst of this world? Oh, that our heart that is not in those labors, but that our treasure that is set upon things that are above, these two men, they are bound together. All they are one. They are bound in their joys, but they are also bound in their sorrows. That is, spiritual bonds that will never separate these two men, not to all eternity. And those two men, they talk together. They understand each other. All they are one in their affections. They are one in their love. They are one in their afflictions. And they converse about it. And then true to the promise of the Lord, that where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we see that the Lord Jesus, as they are speaking about these things that burden their souls, that the Lord Jesus, he is drawing near to them. Is there a more blessed people in this world? No, they do not feel so blessed. But it is so, is it not? Do you think so, children, boys and girls, that these two men, even though they are sorrowful, that they are now also so blessed, but their eyes were holden, that they should not know him? And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Or how is it with the church of God when they must miss the Lord? We should not think that they are glad with this, as some say. No, we read it. They are sad. They are sad only. They experience that it is something that they are not able to change. And that, young people, many do not understand anymore today. That it is something that from their own side, they are not able to change. But that is the reality with these two men. And that is the reality with that church even to the end of this world. But the Lord knows how they are walking over this world. The Lord knows that they walk and are sad. And that is now the most important, because the Lord is the one who is able to do something about it. The Lord is the only one that is able to change it, and he will in his own time. What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Oh, he says, tell it to me. Tell it to me. Lay it now all before me. He invites them, but their eyes, they are still holding that they should not know him. And we can read now of Cleopas. Cleopas, he is not so happy. Or he sees this stranger as an intruder. Or he thinks, here is now one. He completely will not understand us. and is very short with him. He would rather be left alone. Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Oh, what mistakes that the Lord's people are sometimes making as to how that the Lord is going to give to them deliverance. They are so ignorant. They are so foolish. They are even rebellious. But the Lord, he does not leave that people to their own devices. No, we see the Lord Jesus. He continues. He goes forward in his own way. And he presses Cleopas. What things? He asks. No, Cleopas, he cannot get out of it so easily. The Lord is so good to his people. To overcome his own people, all their wretchedness, all their foolishness. We see that in our second thought. Their eyes are holding. While they unburden to him, it can come so low in the life of God's own children. We see Elijah. He is sitting under a juniper tree. And what does he ask the Lord? He asks the Lord if he may die. He says, O Lord, it is enough. Take away my life. Because I am not better than my father's. Or he has done the work of the Lord. And that wicked woman, Jezebel, she would take his life. Or how low then it can come. How was it with Jonah? What does the Lord have to say to him? Doest thou well to be angry? And Jonah even replies to the Lord. He says, I do well. To be angry. It is of course different with Cleopas. But it seems at least that Cleopas, he is not so reconciled to the providence of the Lord that this stranger should now have to walk along with them and to be an intruder. But the Lord is able to change all of this in one moment. And the Lord presses him. He says, say it now, Cleopas. What things are they that make you sad? And then these two men, they begin to speak. And then we can hear something beautiful. As those two men begin to open their mouths, and the Lord Jesus, he is walking beside them. And then it is as if the Lord, he in a very powerful way will draw out of these two men what is living in their heart. He gives them to speak and he permits them to open up, as it were, their whole case before the Lord. Oh, we do not read any shortness anymore. But once they begin, then you can read how that it is all flowing out of them. May you ever experience it, people of the Lord. Oh, when your heart that is so hard, oh, when your heart that is so rebellious, so peevish, you hardly want to bend your knees. But you did not dare to refuse. You will just do it quickly. You will just do it to get it off your conscience and to say, yes, I have prayed again. But you do not want to do it. Why not? Because it's all wrong anyway. Because it was never the work of the Lord. Because everything is upside down. Because I have deceived myself. And because the Lord does not come anymore. And because the Lord is silent and he does not speak, and then you have gone on your knees and everything has changed. Then when you went there, then the Lord gave to you to open your heart so that you could lay it all at his footstool. And then you felt something of the drawing of the Lord himself, as so that all that burden that was living in your heart, all suddenly you were able to lay before him, and your whole case the Lord gave you to open before his ears. Then you could feel something. Then you could feel as if the Lord himself, that he drew it out of your heart, though it was all still wrong. But still you went on and on. And then as you went on, then it became so good for you to draw near unto God, that you may unburden your heart. No, you still had no light. No, your case, that is still not solved. The riddles, they all remain. But somehow you felt that the Lord was not so far away, though you could not see him. Somehow you felt that the Lord, he took it over from you, and that he was so close, though your eyes, they could not behold him. Oh, what a freedom you may then experience. So it was with these two men, these two disciples of the Lord. Their eyes, they are holding. They still cannot see who that this stranger is. But what a freedom. What things concerning Jesus of Nazareth they begin. All then they may speak of him whom their soul loved. Then they may speak of him whom their soul did miss so much, and they could not miss. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, oh, I think when that name that has come over their lips, and then their heart that has melted like wax. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, oh, that name was a mockery to so many in this world. That name that was a mockery unto that Jewish people. But that name was not a mockery to the souls of those two men. Though he was dead. Yet they still loved him. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, all the love and the esteem that was living in their hearts for this dead man. No, he was no deceiver. He was a prophet. He was a prophet of the Lord. And they were so convinced. His word, that was a word with power. And they have known that power even in their own heart and in their own life. And yet they cannot understand it. How the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. What is it? It is, congregation, the admission of their own mistakes, of their own error, and that before this stranger. this stranger, this man, whom they have no idea who that this man is. Oh, how the power of the Lord Jesus Christ was felt to draw out their hearts and to tell him everything, even that was most hidden, even that was most personal to their own souls. And then when the Lord is drawing out our heart, then there is nothing that we are hiding anymore before the face of the Lord. Not all our own foolishness, not all of our own ignorance, not all of our own unbelief, not all of our own mistakes. But we trusted that it had been He. We trusted, we thought. But now we see we are wrong. We were obviously wrong. And yet, oh, yet, the women, the tales of the women, there is still something that they are not able to let go. And today is the third day since all these things were done. There is still something. What is it? It is the struggle of faith. It is the struggle of faith with everything that comes against that true work of the Lord. The Lord from on high does not let that people go, but He causes them to hold on. All the Lord gives to them, just sufficient to keep the people from an utter despair, though it seems like everything is against them. But Him they saw not. That is their greatest grief. That is their greatest sorrow. That is their greatest perplexity. No, they cannot see Him. He hides Himself. And yet He causes their hearts to draw near in a most hidden, in a most secret way. Let us sing. Psalter 209. Stanzas 3 through 7. I think of God and call to mind His goodness, yet no peace I find. I still pour out my sad complaints, my burdened spirit almost faints. 3 through 7 of 209. Then said he unto them, O fools. They are the words, congregation, that the Lord Jesus spake to his own disciples. O fools. And how do these two Emmaus travelers receive this from this stranger? How would we receive it? They have also a character. We do not like to be called a fool. But when the Lord draws us to himself, then we are in a good place. When the Lord draws us to himself, then anyone can call us a fool. Because then we feel ourselves, our foolishness, and our ignorance. And then if only we may be instructed, then we may be glad. O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. There are people, and they are quick to believe, to take everything to ourselves, and an angel from heaven cannot take it away. But temporary faith that will soon pass away. Now there is another people, and they are slow of heart to believe, to their own shame. That is a people to whom belong all the promises of the Lord in his whole word. Oh, that wretched unbelief. That is a people for whom life should be so easy. They have a Father in heaven. Will take care of them for a time and also for eternity. But faith, that remains a gift of God. And so it also has to be experienced, that faith that is a gift of God. And the Lord may rebuke that people, but who are we? Man does not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. We do not. And yet he is guilty before the Lord. We do not cast stones at Abraham when he cannot believe. We do not, when he will take Hagar, will we cast stones at Sarah when she laughed? Will we cast stones at Jacob when he will say, all these things are against me? There are mountains. There are mountains of impossibilities that come in the way of the true church of God. And yet the Lord, he says, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. It is not to the credit of that people that they cannot believe. Far from it, it remains their fault. It remains their shortcoming. It remains their sin. Because what the Lord says to them is true. No matter what comes in between, he is not a man that he should lie. And he is not the son of man that he should repent. O fool. And slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Thus the things concerning himself begin where? They begin with Moses. Things concerning himself, they begin with Moses, who is a representation of the law. Why? Because the law, that is the schoolmaster unto Christ. And by the law is the knowledge of what, children? By the law is the knowledge of sin. And now, who is the Lord Jesus? Oh, he is the answer upon sin. He is the answer upon sin. Did you ever find him to be so? He is the answer upon the guilt of sin. He is the answer upon the pollution of sin. But how now that church needs to be instructed in the priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ, needs to be instructed in his suffering, needs to be instructed in his death. So far, it was an offense to the disciples. His suffering and his death, an offense to them. They do not see the necessity. They do not see the preciousness. Now they are instructed in it. That is the instruction of the prophets. And so it is with the church of God. They at first do not see the necessity. They do not learn everything in one day. But the Lord will lead them in the instruction of the priestly office, the necessity of the suffering and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how? How does the Lord lead his people into that instruction? Well, he cuts them off. He cuts them off from everything that is from their own side. They have to lose it all. Is that not the way that the Lord did lead his own disciples? Is he not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Thus, in the beginning of the life of the people, oh, then there is a life of love. Then there's a life of tenderness. Or there is a life of daily walking with the Lord. And they think to be saved. How? By increasing every day with the Lord. But congregation, we cannot be saved by our sweet frames. And we cannot be saved by our experiences. And we cannot be saved with our love and with our comfort and with our zeal. And why not? Because we have to stand before our judge. And that people have to stand before their judge. And a life of frames, and a life of experiences, and a life of love, that does not satisfy justice. Only go in the court. The law that knows no mercy. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is the only way that that law knows. Thus the people, they have to be cut off from everything that is short of the satisfaction of justice. Everything must come in the grave. Also their religion. It is too short. It cannot deliver them from death. It cannot deliver them from condemnation. It cannot deliver them from punishment. Cannot reconcile them to an angry judge. And then they need to be instructed in what? They need to be instructed in the necessity of the priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to be instructed in the necessity of his suffering. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things. They need to be instructed in the necessity of his death as an atonement for their sin. That is a hard lesson. Why a hard lesson? We do not want to be cut off. We do not want to be cut off from all our religion. We do not want to be cut off from all our sweet frames, from all our efforts, from all our love. But it is necessary. Necessary why? Because otherwise we cannot stand before the judgment seat of God. Or in the end, the law that will still condemn us. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All that instruction the Lord Jesus leads his disciples into, even as he hid himself from them. Though they did not know who he is, but later we read that as he is speaking, then their heart, all their heart that is burning within them under this instruction, oh, then they see how necessary, then they see how precious the Lord Jesus is, and how precious that he becomes to them, ever more precious when they may be instructed in those matters, and how much they come to see in him and his mediatorial work. Oh, how blessed that he becomes. And evermore they feel their need for him. And evermore their soul misses him. Evermore their soul cries and sighs after him. Are there such also as these men in our midst, unto whom the Lord opens something of the necessity of his sacrifice? That is not instruction that we receive with joy. That is not instruction that we receive with comforts and consolations for our soul. But the hard facts, the consequences of our sin, must become reality. The wages of sin is death. Is there a people now for whom all your religion that is insufficient? Maybe, perhaps with everything that the Lord has given to you in your life, and that you say, I am still not able. With all that I cannot deny in my life, I am still not able to stand before the judgment seat of God. Then we have to lose it all. And that is a hard lesson. That is perplexing. That is an overturning of the way that we thought that it would go. Indeed, we trusted that it had been he. Yes, disciples, it is he. But it is not in the way that you believed. But justice. Justice must be satisfied. And he is going through. And he will satisfy it. And so your heart will burn, will long, will yearn. more and more for him. And if that is so, oh, then your heart also will not be disappointed. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who art wiser than all thy people, all who is able to give thee counsel, Lord, look upon each and every one of us. We may read, we may speak, we may hear of the way wherein thou didst lead thy own church. But we need also to know these matters for our own souls. Oh, we beseech thee, lead us into all thy truth and draw our hearts that they may also burn under thy instruction. And could it please thee to draw us to lay out all the needs and the cares, the perplexities of our hearts and our own secret chambers before thee. Bless thy word. Forgive our many sins. Dismiss us with thy blessing. And bring us in safety and with desire. Together in this afternoon again, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 72, 1, 2, and 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face, my heart and lips, their answer speak, thy face, Jehovah, and will I seek. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 72.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.